You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, Jim, here we are. A dull Friday morning outside in Vancouver. I think the markets are kind of dull, too.
Now, ChatGPT, the artificial intelligence, under fire in Canada. Major news organizations here are suing the developers of ChatGPT because they say they are illegally copying their news articles written by real journalists so that someday AI can take away their jobs. Any thoughts on AI taking away jobs? And what about you and me, Bob? Well, will AI replace us?
Yeah, no, this is not right. There's something wrong with this where it's replacing original writing talent, and I don't agree with it, you know. And AI also, it's now become so popular. But years ago, I used to use artificial intelligence. The example of it was that you took a PhD in economics and put them as head of the Federal Reserve, and then they became very brilliant, which is what I called artificial intelligence. So,
and this lawsuit, they say, could be worth billions of dollars because they're claiming perhaps $20,000 in damages for each article that ChatGPT allegedly illegally copied. And so there's, of course, thousands of stories published every month.
Well, so long as there's a way of imposing it, enforcing it, and collecting. And that's the only way you can get these bandits to get online with proper reporting and credits and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, now some publishers won't give a writer a contract unless they agree to take a $2,500 buyout that allows that publisher to use AI to scan what they've written so that new books can be written in their style, but by a robot and not by them.
Oh, my God. This just gets worse and worse all the time.
Yeah. Well, we should keep humans in the loop.
Indeed. Yeah, for sure.
Now, we're going to take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye today. Apparently, this AI data mining is simply an energy consumer, a black hole. According to Breitbart, a single AI data center could soon consume more electricity, twice the electricity of the entire city of Pittsburgh.
Well, that's what they report. So somehow my old trading and historical comes in and says, this has become a one-way street of convictions, and how long can it last, and what will the denouement be? So, yeah, they were talking about, and this was on some other fad of a couple of years ago, in Canada, building these data centers in cold areas, because that was one of the problems with one of these big setups, is shedding heat.
Oh,
so
yes.
We'll see.
Oh, yeah, there was one in Alberta that was using natural gas leaking out of an old natural gas drill site. But it was right next to this small town, and they said this AI Bitcoin data center sounded like a dozen jumbo jets all taking off at once.
Oh, my God. Well, that must have been cooling fans.
Yeah.
Oh, for gosh sakes, yeah.
So not just consuming a lot of electricity. Meanwhile, BC, there's just been a story that despite the Site C dam that cost billions more than it was supposed to, BC has to now, because of drought conditions, import power.
Well, I don't know on that one, but...
But what does that say about the government wants only EVs to be available for sale, new ones, in just a few years? We don't have enough power for British Columbians right now.
Yeah, no, that is government at its finest. They're doing everything they can to reduce the availability of electricity. At the same time, they're pushing these EV cars, which use a huge lot of electricity. So, they're crazy. I think with a with a severe bear market, a financial convulsion, and a recession will make people a little more practical. And now, but we're also going to say, hey, on the financial markets, things look good into January.
Also, a new trend, Bob, only in the last few years has natural gas been considered dirty. And you say, well, there's methane leaks in pipelines. Satellites showed that's only happening in Russia, where they don't have rules and regulations like we do. And here, your natural gas, if you let it out, well, you're letting money escape.
Yeah, well, they turn natural gas into a scary item by talking about methane. And they missed this idea that if you get too much CO2 in the atmosphere, it'll warm things up. And for those who are really excitable, not only does it cause global warming, but it causes global cooling and storms and violence, drought, deluges of rain, floods, the consumption of CO2. It does every evil imaginable out there, according to these people.
Bob, back in the 1500s, they were experiencing climate change. Things were cool for a while. What did they blame that on? Was it too many campfires?
Well, you had the warming up to around 1300, the medieval optimum. That's back when they called a warming trend optimum. And then it started to cool. So the 1500s in Northern Europe was particularly cool and nasty. And you had, learned magistrates in different cities and towns. They knew that witches were causing the bad weather. So they convicted and charged and executed thousands of witches. Whereas nowadays, the equivalent of highly educated magistrates, they're really quite more democratic now. And it's not just witches that are causing the bad weather, but it's men and even infants cause bad weather.
Well, maybe that cured it. But, in Germany alone, between 40 and 60,000 women were burned to death because they were blamed for, everything that went wrong.
It was cool and wet, and there were crop failures and periods of starvation, and even it was so dull and wet that the normal grass growing out there had very little nutrients in it, so even the livestock suffered.
In other words, I've always noticed most climate change is caused by differences in solar activity, changes in the Earth's orbit, volcanic activity. I don't see how a carbon tax affects any of those.
No, it doesn't. And carbon dioxide, atmospheric, is a lagging because the oceans, which cover 70% of the surface of the Earth, they absorb at certain temperatures carbon dioxide, and then at slightly warmer temperatures, they emit carbon dioxide. So there's a lag there between temperature changes and CO2, and the lead is about 500 or 600 years. So it gets warmer, and then about 500 or 600 years later, CO2 turns up. So its climate is driving CO2, not CO2 driving climate.
We'll take a look at more headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, Bitcoin is at the doorstep of $100,000 U.S. It's about 130,000 Canadian, something like that. What's behind it, and can it be sustained?
Wildly speculative, straight up, it's wonderful, and it'll go until it quits, and I'm not quite certain when that is, but at least maybe into January when we take another look at this. And these are now becoming, growth curves that are straight up. It's impressive, but somewhere they fail.
Well, I recall around my 60th, it was my 60th birthday party when Bitcoin was $13,000, which seems like a bargain. But everybody was saying, oh, you got to get Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
The next day, it collapsed to $3,000. Right. Is that going to happen to it this time?
Fact. Yeah.
Do you think if, well, it's like anything else on most charts financially, if it goes straight up, is it in danger of coming back just as fast
down? But it's very difficult mathematically or with a computer to forecast the peak of skewed growth curves. This is what you get into when you get one of these raging speculations, is skewed growth curves, which are beyond calculation. But then what you can do is then look back in history as to other great excitements where there would be skewed growth curves and point out that they eventually get over it. And then you have quite the change. And, you had the very select groups going straight up into mid-year. That was an exciting one, the Magnificent Seven, and various specific stocks in there, of which I've forgotten the names, were doing the straight-up thing. And you can't run forever, but at the same time, you can't make the call ahead of time as to when it's going to fail. But we have our historical work that points out that often a good move will run at least into January, and cite the example of the magnificent, the wild, crazy Hunt Brothers silver corner that completed, I think it was in January 18 in 1980, and then the great stock market bull market where the S&P sailed up, I think it was January the 10th of 1973, and of course we all know about the silver crash, but following 1973, the S&P sold off by 46% and made the low in December 1974. So it was a terrible bear market. So here we are. Now, I think we're setting up for another one of those Januaries where you have a magnificent rally, and then, oops.
Well, Mark Leibovitz said there's a theory about how the stock market does through the whole year what it does in the first week of the new year. Anything behind that?
There are people who say, put the statistics forward on that. And, what it does in the first 2 weeks is somehow conditions what it does for the rest of the year. No, I'm more looking for... This is highly speculative markets. So you look for the probability of when a highly speculative move can complete, and we provided some examples where they completed in January.
Mm-hmm. Now, another headline that caught your eye, U.S. new home sales crashed in October.
Yeah, every once in a while you get a headline that says crashed or plunged, and there it is, some number came in much weaker than expected.
Business bankruptcy filers in the U.S. increased by 33.5% in the 12 months ending in September.
Yeah, that's what's going on. They're filing for bankruptcy, and we're not even into a recession yet, technically.
Well, in Canada, it's even worse than that.
Oh, yeah, because we've been weaker, and the Trudeau government is trying to kill any business ventures possible in Canada. He's fully under the thumb of the World Economic Forum, and for them, the control is imposed on controlling the temperature of the nearest planet. So this is what he goes on about, and now he's backed off recently on his fears about global warming. But when you had particularly severe hardships being suffered by a lot of ordinary folk, and he would be questioned on the floor of the House during question period, and his resort was, well, we've got to save the earth. And he is fully brainwashed by the WEF.
Headline from the Telegraph, Trump's America reminds of Rome in decline. Is the U.S. Staggering around like Rome did in its last 100 years?
Well, actually, the 3rd century in Rome is what one of these what I call tyrannical centuries, where it was a century of war, inflation, government intrusion, and it ran for a little more than 100 years. And then the next century, a tyrannical century, ran from the 1500s into the early 1600s. And it's the early 1600s for reform is best followed in England. And what you do is you get to the point where people just can't stand the inflation and the wars, and they make their voice known. And here our century of tyranny began in the early 1900s, and it has continued. But one of the things about this historical study I did is that it's the burst of inflation at about 120 years out, or thereabouts, like around now. This is what ends the whole tyrannical century, a big burst of inflation and catching speculators offside, and then it crashes, and then you have a depression that not robs the government. How the hell do you rob government when they're the robbers? But tax revenue is diminished, and then government can no longer use inflation as a means to fund itself. So people have an eyeball with their members of parliament and say, shut it down, mate. And this is what we are heading for, where the ordinary public says to these governing forces, enough, you're out of here.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, good to be with you, Jim, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.